All right, a little unusual here this morning, what I'm going to preach on. Shouldn't be, but it is. But here's the question, is hell real? Is hell real? You'd be amazed how many people, maybe even in this room right now, really in their heart of hearts, do not believe that it is. Yep, this watered down generation here, where God is love only, and nobody's supposed to judge. Judging's evil. This generation where good's evil and evil's good. Why, hell can't exist. How could a loving God send anybody to hell? Well, because he's a loving God. That's why. You don't understand. Matthew chapter 10. Let's read verse 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus said there, he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." My. So who are you supposed to fear? God. You better fear God. Yes, sir. Everybody blames the devil and says the devil. The devil can destroy your body. He don't send you to hell. God does. Because you chose to. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33. Jesus' famous, I don't know if you call it a sermon or not, but I mean he told the Pharisees what for. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Matthew 5. Verses 29 through 30, and Jesus said this again. He said, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right eye hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, Jesus again says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Amen. John chapter 5 and verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son," capital S. Who's going to send you to hell if you go to hell? Well, it's one of those things where you can attribute it to a lot of things, but Jesus has the keys. God is going to make sure that you're in hell. If you live your life in unrepentant sin and you do not trust Christ and him alone and his atonement for your sin. You can do all the good works you want to do. You can go to church all your life. You can give all you have. You can give your body to be burned. And it'll profit you nothing. Yep. Is there a hell? Psalm 55 verse 15. "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." That's the psalmist. Psalm 86, verse 13, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." That's what they just sang about. Yes, sir. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." Jesus opened the door of hell and let us look right in and listen to the cries and the torments of the rich man as he begged for a drop of water to cool his tongue. For he said he was tormented in this flame. And then you've got Baptist preachers that'll stand before the whole world and say that hell does not have fire. You got Baptist preachers that stand in front of the whole world and say that God wouldn't send anybody there. In fact, hell's going to be empty and heaven's going to be full. That's a lie. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure to receive what's coming. Because most of the human race is going to hell, not heaven. Now, God didn't make hell for us. That was not His original. That's not His design, was for the devil and his angels. But since you've decided to side with the devil and his angels, it's your place too for eternity without Christ. So is hell real? You better believe it's real. So we're going to talk about that for a few minutes and then we'll let you go. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the fact that it's so plain and clear and sure in this matter. Oh, how dare us even doubt the existence of this place of eternal torment? How dare we avoid talking about it and pretend it doesn't exist? Oh my, when there's some in this room without a doubt that are headed right there right now. Please help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Most people just don't believe in their heart that hell is real. They don't believe it is what the Bible teaches it to be. And they don't believe what it has always been taught to be by the churches. It's always been taught by the churches through the ages. The Orthodox churches, and I don't mean like the Greek Orthodox. I just mean the real people of God, the real Bible believers through all of these centuries and millennia have believed and taught from the Bible that there is a place where people go to be tormented and punished forever for the wicked sins they committed while they were here on earth. Some of the Baptists get so mixed up in their ideas about believing in works, this thing about works, you can't work for your salvation. No, and ain't none of us believe that our works atone for our sin. But they've taken it to such an extreme and they've got so twisted and froward with it and crooked with it I've got books at home where they teach, this Baptist preacher teaches, that the only sin that'll send you to hell is the sin of unbelief. What a perverted idea. It's no wonder, Gary, as used on in Sunday school, that everything's such a mess when they get such ideas as that. Jesus said plainly in John chapter 3 that where everybody knows, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He said the world was condemned already. You're going to hell because of the sin that's in your soul. And Jesus is your only hope. God sent Him to rescue sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost already. You know, you're not saved or safe until you hear the gospel and reject it. Then you're see, that's nonsense. We wouldn't go to any parts of the world. Why go to all the world and preach the gospel? Don't tell them, because if you tell them and they reject it, they'll go to hell. That ain't the way it is. They're going to hell. Yes. And somebody's got to tell them that there's a way to escape. Yes. Many believe that it simply means the grave, which is absurd in the light of the many verses that refer to it as a place of torment and fire and cries of anguish and pain. How absurd, how ridiculous, what a bald-faced lie to say that it's just a grave. You're dead like a dog, and when you die, you cease to exist, and that's just it. You just blink out, and that's it. No matter what you've done, you could have killed millions of people like Hitler, and he didn't suffer one bit for it. All he did was just, and that's it, and he's out of it. Escape clean as a whistle. It goes against everything in your soul to believe that that's the way it is. No, he's burning in hell right at this moment. And he will be a million years from now. And he deserved it. It's just and right and how it must be. And it's in your very nature. You know that's right. You got to deny your own nature to believe otherwise. Because hell is described by the Bible as such an awful place beyond human measure of pain and suffering, and it's forever. Most people just refuse to believe it's for real. You mean burn in hell forever? I can't imagine. That's just too much. Why would God punish so severely? You don't understand sin. You're two-sided in your view. You see evil, people commit evil, and I've noticed this, boy. They don't believe you ought to have the death penalty. But when it's their daughter that got raped and mutilated and murdered, they want him dead. Yes, sir. They won't settle for nothing less. That's right. Ain't that something? Yeah. That sense of justice rises up above all their foolish nonsense and worldly thinking and fake sympathy. Most people can't reconcile the fact that God is love with the fact that He created an eternal place of torment so awful as hell. But He did, because He's love. The reason people do what I just said, they're against other people being put to death because it's not there. They're not touched by it. When it reaches in and hurts them, when it subtracts from them, when it's some injustice done to someone they love, you hear me? They love. Then they're for him being punished. They want justice. God is love. You know what the whole deal is about here? This wicked world, and I read it in Psalm. I should have wrote those verses down, but I've had so much that I didn't do it because it took some more time. But the whole deal is because of the reproach of his people. It's the way this world and sinners treat God's people. That's plenty reason for such a hell, as what the Bible describes. Absolutely, the only reason that people refuse to believe in a literal hell is their own self-righteousness. That's the only reason. They reckon righteousness by comparing themselves among themselves rather than comparing themselves with a holy and a perfect God. We look around at other people and say, well, I ain't near that bad. I do my neighbor right, and I go to church, and I'm a decent person. Maybe I don't go to church, but I'm a decent person. I treat other people right. I'm not cruel, and I'm not a murderer, and I'm not a thief. So imagine that they're going to heaven, that a loving God would never send nobody as good as me to hell. He wouldn't put me in hell with a Hitler and a Stalin and all these others. Well, we're going to talk about this. Hope you'll listen. They reckon righteousness by comparing themselves. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Not wise. They're dumb. Foolish. Making a terrible, fatal to their soul mistake. By measuring yourself that way. You better use the right standard. And that standard is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. They're mistaken thinking that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. That's a result of that kind of reckoning in order to establish what we believe about hell and eternal punishment. See, that's the big mistake. Good people go to heaven because God likes good people. And bad people go to hell. No, that's not how you reckon it. You're on the wrong upside down thing here. You got it all backwards. It also means that the standards are movable, and therefore good and evil are subjective things that vary according to the circumstances. When you judge that way, you can move all the standards. You can just move them around. You can change them. You can adjust them. You can call evil good and good evil, and then you're okay. That's the way it's done, always, 100% of the time. You just switch things around, reverse it, and it's okay. It's true that most people have a sense of justice and decency, and they're offended deeply by cruelty and injustice when they see it in other people. It is true. Most people are not the rank vile, filthy, cruel, bloodthirsty, without a soul people. Most people are not like that. Most people do care about other people. They are moved when somebody's hurt. I mean, it's obvious. It's easy to raise money for causes where people are like that, you know, and they've been hurt or something awful has happened to them. People have compassion for other people. Most people do. Now, that's a fact. And we got to acknowledge that. And we ought to praise God about that, because the reason for that is that we're made in the image and likeness of God. And that's how He is. The cruelty and injustice of people is a most convincing evidence that there must be a place of eternal punishment. Are you listening to me? The fact that there are people who can cut your heart out and not bat an eye, cut your head off and laugh about it. The fact that there are people like that in this world, that ought to be evidence enough for you to realize there must be a hell. Yes, sir. Because it is not the norm for people to be like that. All are sinners. Yeah, we'll get that in a minute. You'll see. But most people are not like that. There's a lot of people that can't hardly squash a bug. They're so tender-hearted and so sympathetic with life and the pain of other creatures. Boy, if they only felt that way about God. Really sad that there are people like that are going to end up in hell. And you say, oh, no, this can't be. No, you got it wrong. You're still judging by what you see. You're still thinking that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. You're not looking at sin for what it is. Amen. You just think that just exists in some people. No, it exists in all of us. We're reminded daily of the pure evil that's in this world. This week, the deal in New York where they passed the law killing babies. Unbelievable. Evil. I can't imagine such evil. And rejoicing and laughing and having parties and lighting up the World Trade Center to celebrate the fact that anybody can kill a baby. You don't even have to be a doctor. With the guarantee that you won't be prosecuted. Up until a minute before it's born. You know, such evil is just, it's like a lot of other things. It just, your mind just goes error. I mean, your mind just shuts down about it. You can't imagine how in the world. What in the world? Well, that's evil. That is darkness. That's the devil himself in the control of the minds of these people. How could it be? How can it be? What is the matter with them? Well, they're dark souls. Yes. Amen. Right. And there is a hell awaiting them. Amen. You can bank on that fact. Don't tell me that this world exists and that there is no God and there's no heaven or no hell and that all of this is happening and there's not going to be any consequences. No, there's a God in heaven and He's holy and He will judge this world. And I'll tell you what His name is. His name is Jesus. Amen. He's the one. All judgment's given to Him, and He's got the keys of hell. Yes. And He's going to put them where they belong. Amen. And He's going to put His children where they belong. And it's going to be a separate place from where they belong. See, that's why there's such a conflict. That's why there's such a battle right now. You know, when we preached in Genesis, we talked about that battle between good and evil that's went on. That enmity that's between good and evil and has been since the Garden of Eden. And it will be until the last trump sounds and it's all done. And it's separated forever apart. There must be a place for these. Because Jesus did away with death. He abolished death. So everybody that ever lived is going to live for eternity. But they're going to live in a place that's where they're going to be punished for the evil they did here. And if you'll read in Revelation chapter 19, the first few verses, the four hallelujahs, every one of them, you know what they're shouting hallelujah about? because the wicked, the devil, and the false prophet, and everybody else that was on his side are cast into the lake of fire forever. And the whole universe shouts, hallelujah. There's a hell. God made sure of it. He couldn't be God if it wasn't, there wasn't a hell. If there ain't no hell, there ain't no God. We're reminded daily of this human trafficking that, you know, little kids are disappearing everywhere. You see it all the time. This little boy, this little girl, this young woman disappear. Can't find them. It's what's going on down at the border that all of our wicked politicians are defending and keeping it a-going to keep their pockets full of money and to keep their power where they're at and their fingers in the pot. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing it for. They're selling little girls and little boys and women and men. Slavery. Everybody's so bad about slavery. That's what it is. And that it's worse than slavery. They don't steal them so they can work cotton fields. But it's going on. And it's and our leaders and these same wicked people who say a wall is immoral, say they don't think that's immoral. And they don't think aborting babies is immoral. There's a hell where those people are going to be. Thank God they're going to pay for what they're doing. Say, man, you're just hateful. No, I'm right. Right on. Now, there ain't a one of them people. Now, let me just say this. There ain't a one of these people that I'm talking about that God doesn't love and offers to them, same as me, an offer of pardon. But they got to turn from that, and they won't turn from that. And you must repent, or you will also likewise perish. Tyrannical governments and cruel, evil rulers. Like, we all know Hitler, Stalin, this guy in Cambodia, Pol Pot, and then the people in North Korea. They take Christians out and run over them with rollers. You know, steam roller, like a roller that you roll asphalt with. Yeah, they do. They put them out there and shoot them with anti-aircraft guns and blow them all to pieces. They throw them in with dogs and let them eat them. They starve them to death. We've been reading this book about the preacher in Russia. That Reagan called it the evil empire, and all of these people that we've been talking about scorned and laughed at him. But this preacher in the 80s, we were reading about him being in prison in the 80s, and last night, he was in a room and they had taken him in this room with these three guards and he didn't know what they were going to do to him. He thought they were going to beat him and no tell him what. Well, while they were talking, they throwed another guy in there. Some other guard come open the door and said, here you go, and throwed this little old guy in there. And they said, what's your name? And he said, Abraham something. And he said, oh, Jew. And so they said, he's got money, he's got riches. And he said, no, I don't have any money. And so they said, open your mouth. And they opened his mouth and he had three gold teeth. They took a spoon and held him down and prized the teeth out of his mouth. Yeah. Don't tell me there ain't no hell. Mm-mm. There's a hell for people like that. There must be. You tell me you have a hard time imagining that hell is so awful. Not me. No, sir. There's a hot place in hell for people like that. For people that'll, these doctors that'll butcher these babies. For money. And for their own pleasure. It ain't just money. They take pleasure in murder. They have made a covenant with death. And with hell, they are in agreement. So that's where they're going. Man, I can go on and on. There's no, we could list on and on of the atrocities. These ISIS people that behead, tie people up and behead them. These brave soldiers that can't fight man to man, but they got to ambush and come in a place and blow themselves up or blow everybody else up. Or tie somebody up and then cut their throat or cut their head off. and do it to children. And all the, I mean, look at what a world you're living in. And then tell me there's no place where these people are going to be punished for all this evil. No, sir. No, it gives me comfort to know that God, my God, is not going to let this slide. I can rest in that. Yes, sir. I can't do much about it. But I can tell you one thing. My God's going to do something about it. It's real hard to believe, even for the most skeptical person, that all this evil is done in the habitations of cruelty, in the dark places of this earth, and nothing will ever be done about it. It's hard for even a person who is an atheist to believe that. Something's got to be done about this, because it is wrong, and it is so evil, and so wrong. Something's got to be done. Remember this, Psalm 74, verse 18. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord. This is a prayer of the psalmist. And that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. You see how he's praying? You ever pray that way? Oh God, remember what they've done. And they've blasphemed your name. Look upon this evil, Lord. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increase continually. Oh, we could pray that prayer. This fits us exactly in the day we're living in. We can pray that prayer. When are you coming? When are you coming, Lord, to judge this earth? When are you coming to put these people in hell where they belong? Oh, but we're supposed to love sinners. That's what they all say, ain't it? Supposed to love sinners. You love those people? I mean, don't tell me that nonsense. Amen. Don't tell me you're going to love somebody when you watch them cut some child's head off. Amen. I seen a guy in Israel, one of the Arab terrorists. They killed one of the Israelites, and he got down over the top of him and cut him open and ate part of his liver. You remember watching that? And you tell me, oh, I love him. I have compassion on him. That's your first response. Well, it wouldn't be if that was your son. Amen. Right? Or anybody that you loved. So tell me how God loves everybody, but he loves the person who does stuff like that. You got a warped up idea of everything. You're going against the very nature and of creation itself. There's a hell because God does love. God loves his people. Amen. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The offer of pardon is offered now, but it won't be for long. There's a time when the day of grace is going to be over. That hour is going to arrive. The clock's going to strike the moment that God the Father only knows, and then it's over. And then God's going to set things in order. And everybody's going to get what they got coming. What do you got coming? I mean, be honest with yourself. Better look at yourself real honest. What do you have coming? Is your life about honoring God? Or is your life about self? And getting what you want? Finding pleasure for yourself. Success for yourself. Pleasing yourself. Oh. Man who's made in the image and likeness of God has a deep and basic part of his nature, a sense of justice. This got to be satisfied. There's just something in you that knows right from wrong. It's in all of our movies and books and stories and songs and everything. That's what the world has. You can tell it's in them too, because that's what all of their things are about. Nobody ever wants the bad guy to win. If the bad guy wins at the end of a movie, that's a lousy movie. What in the world? Nobody's satisfied. Everybody goes away upset inside and angry because that ain't right. That just ain't right. But when the good guy wins, everybody's happy. You're encouraged because that's just the way it ought to be. You know what that is? That's your sense of justice that's in your soul, because you're made in the image and likeness of God. It's still what's there. Even though sin has so messed everything up and scarred your soul and made you blind and dumb and everything else, but that's still there. That sense of right and wrong, and the offense when somebody is done wrong. I keep mentioning this book, but it just amazes me. Different times in the prisons, the officers, once it was the head officer of the prison, recognize, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You don't look like a criminal. You don't act like a criminal. You see what I mean? Take a look at these other jokers and know, man, this guy deserves the hole. But this guy, why are you here? It is amazing how many times he found favor with the officers. They'd sneak letters out for him. They would do things for him. They would ask him questions about God. Because that's in everybody. You remember Darlene Rose and the commander of the Japanese prisoner of war camp? How he listened to her about God. See? In all of the world, in every person, there is that sense of justice. Well, what happens? Well, they flip everything upside down and call evil good and good evil. You see, like the ISIS people, Hitler did it classically, see? Turned it all around backwards to where what he was doing was an honorable, noble, good thing for the world and for the human race. He really felt like he was doing good by getting rid of these Jews. But he had a whole list. It wasn't just the Jews. When he got done with them, he was going to start on the black people because he thought they were animals. In fact, when he got done, there wasn't going to be many left but him and his little cronies. Yeah. Therefore, the children of God cry out for God to judge the wicked and punish those who will not turn from it and seek God's forgiveness. You're just not right with God if you don't desire the punishment of the wicked. Now, that's a fact. And I know that this idolatrous generation of false Christianity would call me a heretic, say I'm a hateful hate monger and all that. That's not true at all. I care about people. And if you are right with God, you care about people too. Jesus cared about people. He was a friend to sinners. Yeah. He had compassion on them. But he didn't ever stumble or compromise or back up any in telling them what their fate was going to be without him. Amen. The stumbling place for most people is that they feel self-righteous when they compare themselves with the worst of humanity, and therefore not worthy of eternal punishment. They don't think they could possibly be worthy of hell because they're such a good person compared to everybody else. The mistaken idea of good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Most people don't go to these dark depths of cruelty and wickedness toward other people And so they see themselves as good because they treat their neighbor well and they love their family and they're honest in their dealings with others. I've had people tell me that right to my face. Well, I treat my neighbor right. I'm as good as any of them church people. In fact, better. And I'll tell you what, if they go to heaven, I'll go too. All right, what's the problem there? Measuring yourself among yourselves. And you're not wise. You're not getting a true reading on your meter there. It's a messed up deal. Your ruler's wrong. Your tape's broke off in the middle and you're measuring it from that end. It's going to come out bad. Ain't going to work. They do some good and they definitely do not do as bad as other people. So they cannot reconcile their sense of justice and the fact that they're going to go to the same hell as murderers, thieves, and savages and perverts. You understand that, don't you? It's understandable why people feel that way. Because they're comparing things wrong. They're looking at what they see. They're not looking at the things they do not see that are real also. The reason for this is that they have not stood in the light of God's holiness. But they've only compared themselves among the people they see around them. They've never really realized what they look like in the sight of God. They've never looked at themselves and their actions and attitudes from God's perspective. Are you listening to me? They live in the septic tank of the universe and they've gotten used to the smell. Like people that have bad breath or body odor and that are so offensive to everybody around them but not to them. They're oblivious to it. Sinners are that way. Self-righteous sinners who compare themselves with other people and come out looking good. Like people who eat abominable and nasty things and have done it for so long that they think nothing of it, but it makes everybody sick to watch them do it. You ever watch these jungle people eat those big old juicy caterpillars and worms and entrails of animals and rats and bugs and see, you're all just a heaving right now thinking about it. They don't think anything about it. Man, give me some more. To them, it's just like eating candy is to us. And they don't see any problem with it. But you do. They just got used to it. It's what they've grown up among. They're accustomed to it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's good food. It tastes good. Feels good. It's good for food. It's pleasant. We like it. What's your problem? It's the way sinners are with God. I mean, I do good. I treat my neighbor right. I'm honest. I work. I go to church even maybe. How? Don't tell me I'm going to hell. See, there's the stumbling place. You hear me? There's the stumbling place. Bad people go to hell, like these child molesters and these rapists and murderers and people that go around dismembering and doing these terrible things to other people. They go to hell. Yes, sir, buddy. They deserve it. But not other people. Not people that just behave themselves that way and get along with people, so, and not them. The only people that we think go to hell are the people that offend us. We're not even thinking about God. God's the one that's in charge of this. Jesus is the one that has the keys to hell. Not me, not you, not anybody else. Not a church. Jesus has the keys to hell. You better be careful about offending him. They never looked at themselves from God's perspective. It's like people who live in filth with animals until their house is full of dung and dead bodies, and they live there among it like there's nothing at all wrong. You see it in the news every week almost, where somewhere in the country, somewhere they've found this old woman or this old man living in a house with hundreds of cats and dogs and animals of every kind and birds, and the floor, the feces is that deep on the floor. And there's dead animals everywhere, bodies in the freezer and piled up in the corners. And I mean, unbelievable. The people have to wear suits and masks to go in there. They can't even stand. Can you imagine the smell? And that person living in that mess. And they got to drag them out and confine them somewhere else because that's home and they love that. That's nothing wrong with it. It's my home. They made that situation that's so vile. And nobody even knew it until they got there and seen it. And they don't see a problem with it at all. Not a problem with it at all. It's the way sinners are. They're comfortable in their filth. Don't look like filth to them. Don't smell like filth to them. I'm good. I don't hurt people. I don't steal. I don't do all these things. I'm a pretty good person. Look at me. I mean, ain't I pretty? Don't I look okay? Fat's beautiful now, you know. Everything's beautiful. Seen the other day a model now showing on purpose her colostomy bag. Because that's beautiful. That's part of her, man. You're supposed to love it because and think it's beautiful because that's part of her too. You see? Depraved. This world is unbelievably depraved and degenerate and out of their minds insane. And there's a hell awaiting. God's people need to be living right. Gary, you talked about in Sunday school. God's people need to be shining the light. How you do that? Go knocking doors and asking everybody if they know they're dying. If they die today, if they go to heaven, that ain't the way you spread the light. No, sir, buddy. What nonsense. This is a bigger deal than that. It's a more of a work than that. You got to live your life. I mean, it takes a lifetime. And even then, you know, I think about my own self all these years, 40-some years now, and I think, a lot of times I just think, man, I ain't accomplished nothing. It just don't look like I've accomplished nothing, really. And God means for us to look at ourselves like that, I think. He fixes things so that we just can't come to no conclusion but that. And he'll just drop a little something once in a while just to let you know, yeah, you just let me take care of this. Old Lewis last night, he said, we was talking about trying to figure out, me and Mom, trying to figure out who to get to preach a funeral. And he said, I said something about Elmo and somebody said, well, he don't do that no more. He said, his mom told me, she said, Mom said, I want to get Uncle so-and-so. And he said, nah, not him. Because, his religion ain't what he says it is and all that. And he said, and then I thought about you. He said, I've just always felt like you guys were real. Amen. And I told her later, I said, man, we talking about getting old all the time. And here's this boy that we were hauling him to church when he was 7 years old. And now he's coming to me to get me to preach his grandchildren's funeral. But see, that family needs a lot. But see, that's what I mean. They're out, they're in the perimeter. I mean, they can hear. They got something. There's some influence there. I'd rather have that than a whole book full of people that I led to the Lord on the doorstep of their house that never darkened the door of a church. God's people just need to live for God and honor God with your life. That's how people know there's a God in heaven. That's how they come to the knowledge. I listened to a woman this morning giving a, oh my goodness, it's over this abortion deal. She said she was pregnant when she's 16 years old, not married. Her dad told her to get an abortion. Her boyfriend told her to get an abortion. It was just after it became legal. So she got an abortion. By 18, she was pregnant again. She got another abortion. Then she got married. She had a couple of kids. She got divorced when they were 4 and a year and a half old. She was single for 7 years, and she said she lived very promiscuously. Surprise. She got pregnant again, had another abortion. And then 7 years after she got divorced, she found another man and they got married, but she was pregnant when they got married. And she was pregnant the first time she got married and she knew that was a big mess, so she got another abortion. And then her little 12-year-old girl, she said, had went to camp somewhere and got saved. And the little girl evidently, you know, must have really got something. I don't know. She worked on her mother, and her mother kept listening and thinking about it. And finally she got saved, and she was started reading her Bible, and she was doing this intensive study about things, and she read the verse, "Where before I formed thee in the womb." And she said, "I never understood that." She said, at that moment, I realized that I had murdered my children. I didn't end my pregnancy. I murdered my children. Well, what if she'd have lived her life and died without ever even being faced with the truth? You see, that's where we fit into this thing. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're to stand for the truth, no matter what. If they put us in jail, if they put us on the guillotine, if they put us for the firing squad, if all the world rejects us, if they put us in a hole in the ground, we got to stand for the truth. This fellow in prison, you know, they were threatening him and everything, and they made him acknowledge that they were guilty of these charges, and he wasn't. He didn't insurrect the government, and he didn't do all these things they charged, so he refused to do it. And so then, you know, off to a different place he goes after they beat one of the other guys to death right there in front of him that did it, almost to death. He may have died later. But anyway, he told that officer, he said, "I'm not a bear that you can train in a circus." He said, "You have control of my body. And you can beat me and you can kill me, but you can't. My spirit is still free." And you know what the officer did? He didn't treat him well, but he didn't kill him. And that's true. Stand for the truth, no matter where you're at. They put him somewhere else. And this young guard was standing over him, talking rough to him and everything, and said, "You don't look like a criminal. What'd you do? Why are you here? You look like an accountant." He said, "Why do you want to know for?" And he said, "Well, you look like an accountant that cooked the books or something." And he said, "No." He said, "I'm a believer in God, and that's why I'm here." And he said, "Well, what's your name?" And he told him, he said, "I know you, the guard." He said, "I've read your letters." He'd wrote these letters to his teenage sons, and the officer had sneaked them out for him. And the church in Russia had got them and published them in magazines and sent them overseas. And it really made the Soviet government mad because... And this boy that was a guard in the prison had read them. He said, "I've read every one of them." He said, are you going to write any more? And he said, "How can I write letters? I have no way." He said, "You write them, I'll get them out of here for you." Stand for the truth. God will provide the way. Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Need to read stuff like that once in a while. The cruelest thing that's ever been done by one person to another doesn't compare with the cruelty that every person has done to God with his selfishness and sin. There's where we stumble. There's where we get off the track. Our sin crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to understand that. They spit in his face. The cruel beatings, the crown of thorns, the nails in his hands and feet, the spear in his side, and the shame he suffered and continues to suffer, and the agony of his soul as he sweat drops of blood in the garden. I caused all of that. You need to understand that. You think the guy, the person, those mean people that abuse other people so bad and beat them and shed their blood with pleasure, you think that's bad? Look what you did to Jesus. Say, I wasn't there. Yes. Oh, yeah. It was for you. He died. He bled and died for me. It was for me. Y'all understand that? So I am the one that caused that. Who was he? God. He wasn't just another man. This ain't some injustice that was done to some other man. This is what all of us done to God Himself. You seen the sign here a while back with the mob protesting, and the guy had on the sign, "If Jesus comes back, kill him again." You seen it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. That includes me, and that includes you. All have sinned. For me to say that I have never sinned makes me a liar. Now that's what 1 John means. For me to say that I had no part in this, I've not done God any wrong, I'm a liar. I'm fooled. I'm blind. I did. I treated him worse than I've ever treated anybody else. You did too. Most people have. They've treated God worse than they've ever treated another human being. Even their worst enemies. That means that in God's sight, I'm actually just like the cruel people who murder and torture and treat others with no regard for their life or their suffering, and even take pleasure in it. Now that's the way God sees the sinner. Yeah. Oh, you don't. Yeah, you know, most people don't look at other people that way. They have compassion. Compassion. Oh, God. If they pray, they say, "Oh, God, they're good people. They just don't know. Please have mercy on them." You take the part of the sinner against God. While he is spitting in God's face. While he has the condition of his heart and mind is that if Jesus was here, he would drive the nails himself and he would spit right in his face if he could himself. And you take their part instead of God's part, who you supposed to love. Messed up, upside down. I got to realize that even though I may think I treat other people well, I got to realize that even though I may think I treat other people well, I've done more to God than the cruelest person has ever done to another person. God made me, gave me life, and I've taken it and used it against him. I've done violence to every part of God's nature and being. He made me for himself, and I've given myself to another. God gave me this body to experience life and to give glory to him in this world, and I've used it for wicked, selfish pleasure and to blaspheme God. I've lived in this world and took whatever I wanted without regard for the fact that it was not mine, but his. Every breath of air you breathe is God's. Every bite of food you ever put in your mouth, God provided that for you. You took it. Your body belongs to God. The Bible makes it clear, whether you're saved or lost, your body belongs to God. And you take it like a stolen car or stealing somebody else's house, and you use it for whatever you want to use it for without any regard for the fact that it ain't yours to do with as you please. It's like stolen property. I've influenced others to ignore and forsake and think evil of God. Not a person in here can say you haven't. I've lived as if he didn't exist, all while he was reaching out to me in love, in spite of my disregard and disinterest in him. How could there possibly not be a place of eternal punishment for being so wicked and evil? Huh? That's impossible that there is not a hell. It's impossible. There is a hell. Everything in our being affirms that such evil must be punished. How can we give ourselves a pass on such flimsy grounds? And as sure as there's a heaven for those who have been redeemed from this evil, sinful world, there is most certainly a hell for those who stubbornly refuse
to see themselves as they are in the sight of a holy, holy God. For those who add to their utter wickedness by trampling under their feet the blood of Christ, you can be certain there's a place where they'll be separated from God and the righteous and punished for eternity. And anyone who denies the existence of hell is headed there themselves. You hear me? Because it is certain proof that they do not have even a basic understanding of sin, of salvation, or of God Himself. But they're dependent upon their own self-righteousness, which they created and defined themselves by comparing themselves with other sinners, or by redefining good and evil. Let me read you a verse here, and we'll be done here in just a second. Luke chapter 13, Jesus said this in verse 1. There were present at that season, just a minute, we'll see what Jesus said, but let's read here. Verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things?
You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, you think these guys were killed because they were worse sinners than the rest of that bunch down there? Is that what you think? You think people go to hell just because they're worse than other people? Is that how you think? Is that how you reckon things, Jesus said? That's what Jesus is saying. Suppose ye that these men suffered these things because they were worse, they were greater sinners. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Or these 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Jesus is saying exactly the same thing that I'm saying to you here this morning. It ain't just these evil, most vile, cruel, bloodthirsty wretches that go to hell. People go to hell from a church pew just as fast as they do from those places. What's the deal? Well, because people compare themselves among themselves. They figure good people go to hell, heaven, and bad people go to hell, and I'm a good person, so I'm going to heaven. That's the way it is. God's love, you know. God wouldn't put me in hell because He loves me. And besides, I'm a good person. But they're blind to what they've done to God. They're blind to the violence, the injustice, the hurt that they've inflicted on God Almighty. With their selfish, sinful, stubborn, self-willed life.
Yes, there is most certainly a place called hell. And sinners who die without coming to God through faith in Christ and the blood He shed for their sin will most certainly spend eternity there being punished for their sin. That's the way it is.
I still believe it. I can't open the Bible without reading about it. There it is. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Jesus Himself spoke often and plainly about it. He held a child on His lap while He told him about plucking out your eye. You don't want to go to hell. I don't care what it costs you. You'd be better off to go to heaven blind than to go to hell with both eyes. You'd be better to go to heaven missing an arm or a leg than to go to hell with all of them. Whatever the cost, whatever is taking you that direction, you better wake up and realize there is a hell. And you're headed there without Christ. You must be saved. You must be born again. You must. Or that's where you're going. And it's your choice. I can't make up your mind for you. No, I can't make up my mind for nobody else. I try to persuade, try to reason, try to point you to God, try to get you to Jesus so you can see, because that's the only way you're going to see. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. That's your responsibility as a Christian. Point people to Jesus. Live it. Be like Him. Be real. Live like you believe this book and these truths like we've talked about this morning. I don't want anybody to perish. I don't want none of these children, these babies. I don't want none of you older people, none of you, to end up in hell because you thought you were good enough. Because you reckoned with the wrong standard and measure. You must be born again. You have to trust in Christ and what He did to atone for your sin. That's the only way. There is nothing else. Well, when you do that, you'll do good works. That's all you'll want to do. You'll be done with sin, a life of sin. Habitual, continual sin. You'll be done with that. Amen. Your life and every word you speak and everything you do and the way you dress and the way and the places you go and your attitude toward other people and what first comes in your mind when you look at other people, all that will be changed. And it'll all be about honoring God. Amen. My life. That's the issue. What I say, does it honor God? Am I on God's side? Am I pulling for Him? Am I exalting Him? When other people hear what I say, when they watch how I live, do my words have any effect when I tell them about God? It's what matters. It's what matters to me. It's all that's mattered to me for a long, long time. It's all that matters to anybody that really gets born again. You care about God more than you do yourself. Let's stand. Like they sang a while ago, I've escaped that awful place since Jesus saved my soul. And the only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my soul. That's how we can face death. With joy and not fear. Poor man in the prison, they'd put him in the hole for weeks on end. I mean, freezing cold, freezing in Russia. And they brought him out and questioned him a little. And the angry officer just put him in a hole another 15 days. And he just said out loud, he said, I forget how he worded it, but he just resigned. He said, this is the last time. He said, I won't make it again. I'll die. So he just prayed out loud to God, you know, Lord, I just commend my soul. That was it. He just knew he was going to die. He's too weak, too starved, too sick. Couldn't do it again. But just with anticipation. Can't do that if you think you're going to go to hell. I've never understood it. I've never understood how people can live their life blatant, anti-God, sinners, hating God's people, hating anything to do with God, and they approach death and die like that. I just can't imagine. Do you reckon it enters their mind at all? What if? What if? How can they be so sure that their lights are just going to go out and that'll be it? At the end of their suffering. No more pain, no more. They claim everything that God promises to His people, but without God. No more pain, tears, sorrow, none of that. They're just going to blink, it's gone. No matter what they did, they got away with it. That ain't the way the universe is, my friend. There's a God in heaven. He's going to set everything right. You can bank on it. Both the evil and the just are going to be judged according to their works. They're going to be rewarded according to their works. That's the language the Bible uses. It's not they're not going to go to heaven or hell according to their works. They're going to be rewarded. That means that hell is going to be hotter for some people than others. That means heaven's going to be sweeter for some people than others. A lot of people reject that, but they just don't know what they're talking about. It's absolutely the truth. Well, there wouldn't be no need of a judgment if that's the way it was. Why are we going to be judged according to our works and rewarded according to our works? If it's nothing to it and everybody's going to get a trophy the same. No, it don't work that way. Are you ready this morning? Do you know? Do you know? You know what eternity holds for you? For sure. Are you comparing yourself among the number, or are you comparing yourself to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ? How do you measure up when you're put up alongside the only perfect man? Well, he stood for me. I read a quote the other day and I told her, I said, boy, I don't know. I got to think about this. It was Spurgeon. And he was a Calvinist. But hear this. He said, I can stand before God as Christ because he stood before God as me. Yeah. That's how it is. Are you in Christ? Is he in you? Does his spirit live in you? Does he guide you to truth? Yeah. I don't fear hell. It's not my home. And it's not because I'm good. I don't bank anything at all on my goodness. Because when I look at it, you know what it looks like to me? Filthy rags. Compared to what he did for me and what I've done for him. No. But when I at the door of heaven shall stand, I can't remember the words exactly how it is, but
at the gates of heaven appear and answer the challenge. What claim hast thou here? What hast thou to offer? Yea, what is thy plea? With humble assurance, my answer will be all
that I have. Is Jesus.
All that I claim is Jesus.
All that I want, all that I need, all that I plead is Jesus.
Yeah. That's the way it is. Prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. All right. Amen. All right. Appreciate everybody being here. Believe it. There's an eternity just ahead. Prepare for it. Don't count on your own goodness, not anything you've done. You better realize. You better look at how you've treated God, because that's the deal right there. We can be forgiven everything we do to other people. This is a hard one to swallow. But Adolf Hitler could have been forgiven. Could have been. There was sufficient in the blood of Christ for a man like that to be forgiven. He didn't. But he could have. But my, when you do God so wrong. Amen. All right. All hearts clear. All right. Well, all right. Appreciate you being here. Come back tonight.